ஓம் நம சிவாய். டியர் லிசனர்ஸ் ஆஃப் சைவம் டாட் ஆர்க், தி நெக்ஸ்ட் ப்ரோக்ராம் இஸ் ஸ்பிரிச்சுவல் டிஸ்கோர்ஸ். இன் திஸ் யூ ஆர் அபவுட் டு லிசன் கவாய் ஹிந்து லெக்சர்ஸ். தி டைட்டில்ஸ் ஆர் ஸ்டெப்ஸ் ஆஃப் கன்வர்ஷன், சிவாலய தீபம், ஹவு டு பிகம் எ ஹிந்து, பிரசன்டட் பை ஸ்ரீ சத்குரு சிவாய சுப்பிரமணிய சுவாமி. தேங்க்யூ. ஓம் நம சிவாய.
Today, Kwarinam, November 30th. Well, today we send Hinduism Today, the February issue, which is very interesting. A lot of white faces this time. Very interesting. And the subject that we're going to discuss today comes from a question. What do you mean by conversion to Hinduism? I was told that Hindus do not allow conversion. Well, in Lord Shiva's world, it's a different world than in the other denominations of Hinduism, which are Saivism, Sauktism, Vaishnavism, and Smartism. Smartism is a Brahmin, caste-oriented, though liberal to a certain extent, in its philosophy, trying to encompass the world with Vedanta, it does not allow conversion into Hinduism. They even go so far to say, there are four or five pontiffs, that you have to be born in India, an Indian, to be a Hindu. But if you're born in India, and you're an Indian citizen, and you're white, you can't be a Hindu. They even infer that if you're born in Sri Lanka, and Sri Lankans are not Indians, and haven't been for 1,000 years or more, that they can't be Hindus, or in Fiji, or any other country. Why is this? Because they feel you have to be born in a caste, one of the four castes, to become a Hindu, and you cannot convert into the caste because the castes, which are the Shudra, the workers, Vaishya, the business people, Kshatriya, the politicians and rulers, and the Brahmins, which is the priestly caste. So they're very firm in this, and most Indian Swamis are from the Smarta Sampradaya, or this particular denomination. Therefore, they freely give to Western people Hindu first names, but that's it. They don't take them any further because they do not have an overall writing permission from their paramacharyas. The founder of the Smarta Sampradaya, Shankaracharya, left four or five people who carry on his lineage, and therefore they do not have permission to even give the name-giving ceremony, which is the entrance into Hinduism, nor do the priests that follow this particular denomination. But all is not lost. The denomination called Shakta freely brings in people into Hinduism, so does the Saiva denomination and the Vaishnava denomination. Then the question comes up, how do you become a Hindu? Well, it's explained in the beautiful little book, Loving Ganesha, Hinduism's Enduring Elephant-Faced God. And that's the god that drank up all the milk in various cities throughout Europe and India in the milk-drinking miracle. You can read about it in the book. First, one must join a Hindu community. The best way is to go to the local Hindu temple and blend with the population there, and get to know them, their customs, and their feelings about worship. Worship is a very big part of Hinduism, especially for the beginner. Secondly, we must, and I'm paraphrasing from page 548, there are six steps. So the first step is joining a Hindu community. The second step is making a point-counterpoint of your beliefs, whether they be Jewish or Christian, or Islamic, compare them to Sanatana Dharma, basic beliefs of karma, reincarnation, Dharma, and the existence of God everywhere. If you accept these four beliefs, which are contrary to the Abrahamic religions I just mentioned, you are by default a Hindu. But it must be clear to your subconscious mind, so make a point counterpoint and write down why you rejected the former beliefs and accepted your new ones. Then show this to a Hindu elder for his review and comment in the temple that you're attending. Next is ethical severance from former mentors, letting them know. If you're born Jewish, that means from a Jewish mother, you should go to the rabbi and let him know, because he will then tell everyone else that you are leaving the fold. But first he will tell you that it's impossible for a Jew to leave the religion. This is not true. A Catholic priest will also say the same, as will a Protestant minister. This is also not true. We have letters from Catholic priests and archbishops, and we have converted Jews into Hinduism, and a few Muslims also. It's an ipso facto situation. You're automatically excommunicated. Ipso facto, that means automatic, if you accept contrary beliefs to those that you were raised with or taught in Sunday school. And many people go to college and get converted without them knowing it and become existentialists. Even the New Age movement has its own beliefs. So this is soul searching, adjusting the subconscious, and it has to be methodically, and you should have a mentor to help you do this. Then adopting a Hindu name, first name, last name, making it legal, getting a passport, credit cards, library cards, bank account, driver's license, and all of that impresses not only you, but all those about you, that you've made a difference. And this is not a difficult thing to do. Women do it all the time when they get married. They change their name. After the Namakarana Samskar given by a Shakta priest, a Shaivite priest, or a Vaishnavite priest, and not a Smarta priest, because they will say no, that they can't do that, you have this beautiful ceremony, a certificate is signed, and there's a certificate on page 551. Then publish in the newspaper for 3 days that you have changed your name. Tell all of your family and friends and insist that they use your name. If they love you and they really, really love you, they will follow along with you. If you've had contention in your home, your mother or your father say, I named you Janie and you'll always be Janie to me. Or I named you John and you shall always be John to me. What is this cult you're going into anyway? Well, conversion to Hinduism is a do-it-yourself system. When eternal truths are realized, that cannot be changed on the inside of you. No one can change your realization. You can't do that. Because realization is permanent. Realization is permanent. So if you are what we call an Ardha Hindu, that means Ardha means have. You are an Ardha Hindu and is have accepted in your heart and soul the eternal truth of karma, reincarnation, existence of God everywhere, and the Dharma of the Vedas, then take the 6 steps and convert yourself. No one can do it for you. This is your internal process. But these 6 steps give you the path and the system to make it happen. Well, it's been wonderful talking to you all in cyberspace, and we need more questions investigating conversion. Send them in. Push that little button, that little box will come up and you write your question down, send it in. Should be a serious question though. We'll be seeing you in cyberspace tomorrow. Today at Quadinam, December 1st, welcome to our cyberspace electronic ashram. We're very, very happy to see all of your faces out there. You look very, very beautiful. Today is the last day of our phase, which is our Vedic week. And we're looking forward to a three-day retreat, the last day. The entire team, 25 of us, turn out to clean the ashram. Tomorrow is Sivalai Deepam. And this is when Shiva turns into a pillar of light and a big fire is lit all over South India. If you were to fly in a plane throughout the country on this particular day, you'd see many, many fires in every single village, all worshipping Shiva. The Shivaness within everyone is emulated by lighting a big bonfire and everybody's so happy. It's a beautiful festival. Also today, the mayor of Kauai, First Lady of our Garden Island, has invited us with a special invitation to the inauguration, as she just won the election, of herself and our county council. So we'll be going to that. Well, here's a question that's come in about conversion. Are there any other ways or things we should do to convert other than the six steps that you mentioned from Loving Ganesha yesterday? Well, yes, there are. If a person is very religious and has sort of fallen away from their religion, they come to Hindu festivals, they make Hindu pilgrimage, and they find Hinduism as their religion. In other words, they become religious within Hinduism. Then if they wish to convert, we always suggest they go back to their previous religion for a month or two. 100%. And test it out and see if it works for them. Often, they never return. They stay there as a religious person, whereas previously they weren't religious at all in their previous religion. Oftentimes also, they find their philosophical concepts no longer agree. They talk to their pastor, priest, or rabbi and tell them that and obtain a release or an ipso facto excommunication. And this is quite necessary to put someone through this if they have had a history of going to synagogue or going to church or going to mass, so that they are doubly sure about the great step they have taken in this life, which will affect their future birth. Well, enough on that subject. We have a few other questions, but time is short and the answers are long, so we'll take them up after the retreat. Well, we'll be seeing you after our three-day retreat. It's holiday time. Be careful. Supervise your children well. Take care of your body. Only you can do that. It's the only one you got. And we'll be seeing you on Sun One when our retreat is over. You can take the retreat with us too and reflect upon what you did the last two or three weeks and what you're going to do in the days to come and get a clearer perspective, because our future is created with our mind. We can't do a lot about the past except quiet the emotions that are carried in past memories, but we can create a wonderful future for ourselves based on having learned the lessons from the experiences of the past. Today at Quadinam, December 5th, beautiful fire puja today, invoking the gods to build the foundation of Iravan Temple, to bring all the mighty stones to Kauai from Bangalore, India, and it's a windy and rainy day, rendering our cool rainy season. We have three seasons here on this garden island of Kauai. The cool rainy season, which we're entering right now. And then we move into the warm rainy season. And then we move into the hot rainy season, which is slightly warmer than the warm rainy season. Each season varies from 5 to 7 degrees. We have the least rain in June and July. That's when we have our big festival of Satguru Purnima. And we hope that those of you who become a Modeling Academy students will join us. 1999, our 50th anniversary at Satguru Purnima. We experienced during our retreat Sivalaya Deepam, Shiva turning into a pillar of light. Another wonderful fire ceremony with all the devotees who live on the island here came and chanted and sang and prayed for a better life and a better world and the many tomorrows to come. Then we prayed it around and danced around the foundation of Iravan Temple. You may see some pictures of this on the internet. Here again in cyberspace, we have a question from Singapore. I am a Hindu. My wife is a Sikh. Gurudeva, should she go through a process of conversion? Well, of course, conversion is a very intimate process to go through. It takes much prayer and soul searching. Traditionally, in every religion, it's preferable that the wife become the religion of her husband. And it's much easier for a Sikh to become a Hindu than, say, a Catholic to become a Hindu or a Jew, because Sikhism is an outgrowth of the Sanatana Dharma. I would say, if it pleases her to do so, yes. But follow all the steps outlined in conversion, the latter chapters of Loving Ganesha, very, very carefully, so that a full conversion takes place. There's nothing worse than a partial conversion when we half accept the new tradition, but not fully subconsciously. I hope this answers your questions, and thank you very much for communicating with us from Singapore. Another thought about conversion is that it must be carefully considered, because a legal name change is very, very important. It could affect inheritances, family harmony, the children's life. There are many implications. Ask yourself, are you ready for this? Or just be very religious in the religion that you are. Often people come to Hinduism and for the first time in their lives become religious. They meet a guru, they meet the swamis, they hear things that they've never heard before. They attend festivals and sing with abandonment. And then, when they go back to their own religion, they are religious within the religion. Why did they leave their religion in the first place? Nothing wrong with their religion, it's just that they weren't religious. Out of religion comes culture. Out of worship in the temple comes the Hindu culture. For we learn to treat each other as we approach and treat the deity, and the deity within the temple treats us. When the temples are abandoned, the culture slowly goes away. Can it be retrieved? Yes, it can, by building the temples again. A true Hindu will always build a temple in the local community wherever he lives, and he'll start by building one within his own home, a sacred shrine room. Well, I'll be seeing you tomorrow, and the next day, and the next day, and the next day. We'll be together for 5 days, and then we're off on another retreat for 2 days to reflect on the past and on the future days to come. Take time to reflect. Nice to see you in cyberspace. We'll see you tomorrow, December 6th. Today at Kwarinam, December 7th, it's Pearl Harbor Day to remember the attack on Pearl Harbor by the Japanese. A very sad story. Even at Kwarinam itself, we have a meditation cave, but it was not always a meditation cave. It was a bomb shelter created after December 7th. Let's think about it. Aggressive action, causing harm to people, hurtfulness to people. No way is that going to bring a new age. No way is that going to make solutions. It makes division. And division is not a new age. Today, we're having a publisher's desk meeting designing the next issue of Hinduism Today. And one important future issue we're doing for the World Parliament of Religions to be held in South Africa, Cape Town, amplifying all of their goodness and all of their efforts. We're bringing forward, once again, truth is one, paths are many, an amplification of the beliefs and attitudes and practices of all the world's religions and the many faiths. We talked to Sri Sri Swami Bhua Maharaj, the Hindu of the Year, the Hindu Renaissance Swami of the Year, 1999, and he is 109 years of age. In fact, during the conversation, he said, "Oh yes, I knew the great Swami Nityananda of India. I knew him when he was a little boy." We talked to him in Brazil, and he's on his way to Panama, then back to New York, and then to beautiful Garden Island of Kauai, where he will be our guest of honor as the Hindu Renaissance Swami of the Year at Satguru Purnima in July. Lord Shiva is perfect, even in an imperfect world, and he has given us, as Supreme God, the tools to make a perfect world. He's given us the law of karma, the law of action. We send an action out, and it returns like a boomerang. If it's an action that we send out toward other people, it returns through other people back to us. If it's an action against animals, it returns through animals back against us. If it's an action of finance, good, bad, or indifferent, it returns back to us. We must be careful of our actions because they all come back. And every religion in the world explains the law of karma in their own terms. Even in American Ad, what goes around comes around. That's the law of karma. Today we begin the editing of the preface, introduction, and conclusion of a book written 2,100 years ago. It's called Tirukkural. It is the sacred scripture of the South Indian Tamil people sworn on in courts of law. 1,080 verses, 108 chapters, written 2,100 years ago. We're calling it the Weaver's Wisdom because a weaver observed life and toward the end of his life gave his observations out by scratching them down on ola leaves. We have pictures in the book of ola leaf copies that are 200 years of age. We have endorsements in the book from former Prime Minister Indira Gandhi, from the father of Indian freedom, Mahatma Gandhi, from leaders of all cultures and times, as well as prominent leaders in today's world. All believe that this book has a great value to humankind. One verse says, the whole purpose of maintaining a home and earning wealth is to provide hospitality to guests. If a man eats only after attending to guests' needs, what further sowing will his fertile fields require? And there are more. On all aspects of life, political life, how to be a good monarch and rule a country well, how to handle the spies, how to intelligently know business ethics, how to gain wealth, how to keep wealth, how to run a home, how to just be a good person, a productive person. This book and this book alone made India the wealthiest country in the world at one time, long, long ago. Something here on gratitude. It is improper to ever forget a kindness, but good to forget at once an injury received. Now that can change a person's life. Let me repeat again, it is good to never forget a kindness, but to forget immediately an injury received. And to forget, you have to forgive. And forgiveness is a great power. And forgiveness is very difficult because we have to rationalize. The rational mind cannot forgive. It is the superconscious mind, the intuitive mind, the mind of God that can forgive and forget. Because again, back to the law of karma, what we get back through another, we put in motion toward another at a previous time, so that at a future time it can come back to us. This is Dilit Kwadinam, our cyberspace congregation is growing. It's growing in many, many countries of the world are tuning in. And we'll be seeing you. We'll be seeing you again tomorrow in cyberspace. And we're very, very happy that you have tuned in to Dilit Kwadinam, our beautiful ashrama on 51 acres on the beautiful, serene and peaceful Garden Island of Kauai. Come and see us tomorrow.